from 1968.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Laurie Wyman and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips. I've no idea who it was who wrote Absence Makes the Heart Grow Fonder, but it certainly wasn't Captain Povey about the crew of HMS Troutbridge. For some months now, with Troutbridge at sea and well away from Portsmouth Dockyard, life in Captain Povey's office has gone smoothly. What is going to happen to him in his office today is another matter.
Come in, come in. Ah, it's you, Ranchesson. Well, what is it? And be quick about it, because I'm a very busy man.
So I see, sir. And if you'll take my advice, you won't bother to water those potted plants any longer, because they died 3 weeks ago.
Don't be ridiculous, Ranchesson. They can't have died. My dear wife Ramona gave them to me to look after while she's away visiting her dear mother.
Have you tried giving them the kiss of life, sir?
Kiss of life? Ranchesson, what do you think would happen to my authority if someone happened to be passing and glanced up at my office window and saw me being, well, amorous with a busy Lizzie?
Well, they'd probably just think you'd joined the flower people, sir.
Ranchesson, that is quite enough. Now, what did you want?
Well, I thought you'd like to know that Ernie has finally turned up.
Ernie from the dockyard?
Yes, sir. Would you like to sit down, sir?
Don't be ridiculous, Ranchesson. Just a minute. What's the date? Where's the calendar? No. It can't be yet. I marked it in black. They can't be back yet, surely. My blood pressure's only just got back to normal again.
If you are referring to HMS Troutbridge completing her commission and being due back, sir...
Well?
Hard luck they are. Come in, Ernie. Captain Povey will see you now.
Why me? That's what I want to know, Captain. Why me?
Now, just a
minute. Why pick on my gang twice in a row, eh?
Yeah, I'm quite sure.
I mean, my mate Sid nearly went Bismarck when I told him we got Troutbridge again. Sid does main services, you see.
Main services? Oh, you mean Sid connects ships up with the shore power, telephones and so on when they're in harbour?
Of course.
Well,
Sid's not connected up Troutbridge again. No, not after what they done to Sid last time. Not even if he's paid workman's consternation for a year.
Ernie, what did they do last time?
What did they do? They sent Sid all aglow in 8 foot into the air. That's what they did to Sid. 8 foot up he went.
Oh, dear.
Sid'll strike. I'm warning you, Captain. We'll both strike.
Nonsense.
Well, then, can we have danger money?
No. If anybody's entitled to danger money, it's me. But Sid only has to deal with that char on Troutbridge for a day. I get them all the year round. Now then, Robert, what time is she due today?
I'm not sure, Captain, but offhand and from the sound of that lot, I'd say they're here.
Mr. Phillips, I don't want to sound like a backseat driver, but...
No, not now, sir, please. I do wish you chaps would stop interrupting a chap when a chap's right in the middle of it.
With respect, sir. It's not only a chap who's right in the middle of it. The old perishing lot of us are.
Congratulations, Mr. Phillips. For a minute, I thought you'd missed that one.
Well, if you must know, so did I, actually. Right.
Sorry pardon, Mr. Barge, gentlemen.
I'll give you a sorry pardon and all if I come up there, you yellow-headed peril. Hey, you're blundering and bashing about in this blasted harbour. I don't reckon you know your... from your elbow.
Well, really, if that's your attitude, you know what you are, don't you? You're a...
Now, Mr. Phillips, we don't want to lower ourselves to his level.
That we don't, sir. He just sunk.
Oh, well done. At least that's got him out of my way.
Ruthless, that's what he is. Ruthless. Look, next time, Mr. Phillips, sir, why don't you give the rest of the shipping in the harbour a sporting chance?
What do you mean, Chief?
Well, signal ahead, sir, and given the option of scuttling themselves before you come in.
Oh, very funny. Now, I want complete quiet while I come alongside. Now, this is the tricky bit.
You mean the rest was easy?
Quiet, please. Sir is navigating. Now, as I remember it, if I get the sticking out bit on the front in line with the, just in line with the bathroom window of the Wren's quarters, and the right-hand gun pointing straight at the naffy, then with the wardroom porthole looking straight across the offside headlamp on the Admiral's car, and the dent on our starn opposite the big gash on the dock gates, all we need now is full ahead both and, left hand down a bit.
Excuse me, sir, but you've missed something out.
What?
Everybody down!
Lummy, that was close.
Very.
Bridge number one speaking.
Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading seaman Goldstein chat in. I just thought you'd like to know, my bits arrived in Portsmouth. Where's yours?
No, it's all right, Goldstein. We're still with you.
Oh, well, that's a relief, sir. At the speed Mr. Phillips hit the dock, you could have been anywhere.
Now, Goldstein...
Incidentally, if it's of any interest, in the unlikely event that you should ever happen to want me for anything further, you'll find me sitting on one of the dockside bollards.
What? Goldstein, I didn't give you permission to go ashore.
Oh, I haven't gone ashore. But due to Mr. Phillips' natty bit of navigation, the dockside bollards come aboard.
Oh. In that case, you better put it back. We haven't signed for it.
Me? I don't see why I should put it back, sir. Why can't these other two take it with them and they go?
Other two? What other two?
Well, a couple of civvies who were leaning on it when it got bundled aboard. They brought it with them. They can take it back, I think.
Goldstein. Oh, really, he's getting worse, you know.
Never mind, sir. Wait until Wales declares independence.
And what good will that do?
We can intern him as an undesirable alien.
Yes. Right, come on, you two. Get the ship made fast, and then we better go down on the dockside and see just how much damage we've done this time. Well, Chief, how bad is the damage?
I would remind you, Officer and gents both, that damage to naval vessels comes in three sizes. A, B, and C.
Go on.
Well, damage type A is slap a coat, a grey emulsion on it, and nobody will notice. Damage type B is quick, the admiral's coming, everybody stand in front of the Earl until he's passed.
And what is damage type C?
Get your best uniform pressed and your shoes polished. The court-martial is at 10:30 in the forenoon.
Quite. And which type of damage is Mr. Phillips qualified for this time, Chief?
Yes. Am I A, B, or C?
Well, that's hard to say, sir. Offhand, I reckon you're somewhere between H and J.
Cool. That's my best yet. I wonder what I win for that.
Oi! You!
Who?
You! Are you the prize, Nala? What clown is sitting me off our bollards?
Oh, I believe Mr. Phillips did have that honour. Why?
Why? Why? You ask us why? Sid, tell him why.
Sid, her. Yes, so you've had it. Sid and me's off before you throw your honourable boat at us again.
Oh, I don't think he's likely to do that. Mr. Phillips rarely strikes in the same place twice. That's just about his only resemblance to lightning.
Well, we're not charging it, are we, Sid?
No, it hurt.
Yeah, so you said, but why were you sitting on those bollards anyway?
Because, against our better judgment, we'd been persuaded by Captain Povey to connect you up with ship-to-shore electric power and telephone cables.
And after what you've done to us last year and what you've done to us this morning, you've had that.
Last year? Oh, of course, I thought we met before. You were the one who glowed at me and shouted help from 8 foot up in the air.
Exactly. I don't intend to try for the world altitude record this year.
Ah! Chicken!
You stay out of this, Chief.
You're not helping.
No, and neither are Sid and me. We're on strike as far as your boat is concerned.
She's a ship. actually.
Oh, well, if we're going to get pedantic, mate, she's a wreck.
He's got a point there, you know.
Yeah. So you've definitely had it.
Positively.
Yeah. Where it hurts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
No, no, no. Wait, come back. This is ridiculous. You must connect us up. Please.
Here, if you like. And we'll have Mr. Phillips bound and gagged until you finish.
No offence. It still wouldn't be safe. He can create a disaster by telepathy.
Well, really?
Quislings!
Right, where's the nearest telephone box?
Now what are you up to?
Chief Petty Officer Pertwee is about to make an anonymity-mini-mouse call to the Dockyard Police on the main gate, sir. I'll have those two searched every time they try to go out. One government spanner in the hip pocket of their border suits and they'll be inside for 10 years.
Never mind. The question is, what do we do now?
Well, Mr. Bates, our electrical officer, is just coming down the gangway, sir. Perhaps he could help.
I should think that's highly unlikely, but we can always try. Mr. Bates! Mr. Bates!
Mr. who?
Mr. Bates!
Oh, him! Oh, you mean you want me, Mr. Murray?
At last. Can you spare a moment?
Oh, certainly, old man. Several if you like. What's to do?
Well, I know it's a long shot, but as you are our electrical officer, do you know anything about connecting the ship up with shore power?
Haven't the foggiest, old man. Once the ohms and watts and volts and things stop going round and round inside the ship and start whizzing backwards and forwards through the porthole, I rather lose interest.
Knowing what he did to our electrical pop-up toaster when he repaired it, that's probably just as well.
Hey, what did he do?
For some strange reason, when I switched it on, the bread stayed still and the toaster popped up and down.
Lummy. What a good job you didn't mend my electric razor. It might have stuck all my fuzz back on.
Stone me, I didn't even know you'd started shaving yet, sir.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Bertwee. Of course I have. Once every 10 days. Mr. Phillips, stop bragging. I happen to know it's only once a fortnight. Mr. Bates, I refuse to believe we can't do something. You must know how they connect us up.
Must I? Well, it can get awfully involved. But as I recall, you have to open up this little manhole thing here on the dockside and plug in a cable that reaches over to that hole in the ship. Well, we'll have a bit of a try, if you like.
But we can't do that. If we do it ourselves, we'll have a dockyard strike on our hands. Come to think of it, we've already got one, so... Let's.
You know, I couldn't agree more, sir. Now, look, leave it to me, sir. Never let it be said that a Pertwee let down his country in an hour of need. With selfless and incredibly bubble devotion to duty, leading Seaman Goldstein and my modest self will step into the breach and have the ship running on the mains and in full telephonic communications before you can say, "How's your father?" Should you so wish to chat that particular and curious sentence?
Lummy, I don't believe it. Pertwee just volunteered for something. Now, wake up, Mr. Phillips. The chief's obviously got one of his dead certs for the 2:30 and must get the ship on the blower in time to put the 2 bob each way on it.
Well, really? How suspicious can you be, sir?
Well, in any case, it's at 3 o'clock and it's half a dollar to win at 66-1 on Nautical Nancy.
What a pretty name. I once knew a girl called Nancy, and she was extremely naughty.
Yeah, quite.
Well, carry on, Chief. You and Goldstein do the best you can to connect us up. And in the meantime, Mr. Phillips and I'll go across to Captain Povey's office and report our arrival. Good morning, Heather. Hello, Heather. We're back.
I know. I heard the bang.
Oh, did Captain Povey hear it as well?
Mr. Phillips, this time they probably heard it in Chatham. If you'd clouded the dockside much harder, you'd have probably shifted the whole of England up 4 or 5 inches.
Well, he shifted 2 dockyard workers up 4 or 5 feet.
Mm. Captain Povey's heard about that, too.
I had a feeling he might have done.
5 times, actually. First from Ernie, then from Sid, then from the Union, then from the superintendent of the dockyard, and finally from the Admiral.
Lummy, jackpot.
Yes, Captain Povey?
Get onto the main stores at once. See if they've got any weed killer and tell them to get it round here at once. Those fools from Troutbridge are due here shortly.
They're here now, as a matter of fact, sir.
Oh, are they? Oh, yeah. Send them in at once and let me know the moment that weed killer arrives. I'm going to settle this nonsense once and for all. It's kill or cure this time.
Aye, aye, sir.
kill or cure? Did you hear that, sir? Old Thunderguts has gone round the proverbial. He's going to murder us before we get a chance to salute.
This way, gentlemen.
Well, come in, come in. I haven't got all day.
Well, thank you very much, sir. It doesn't sound as though we have either. Can I stand over here, sir? I don't want anything to drink or anything to eat, sir. And I demand to know the antidote.
Has he gone completely potty?
No more than usual, sir. He's a bit concerned about your weed killer.
Oh, don't talk to me about that. If my dear wife Ramona comes back and finds out what I've been up to, I'll never hear the end of it.
Then could we hear the beginning of it, sir?
Will you please stop interrupting?
What is this serious matter that's worrying you, sir?
It's absolute ruin, number one. I think my dear wife Ramona might suspect what I've been doing with Lizzie. I've asked various experts, and they say that although there is an element of risk in using it, it's the only answer if one doesn't want to see her being strangled.
I don't think I feel very well.
Yes?
Your weed killer has arrived, sir. A gallon of it.
Ah! Oh, you stop doing that! Right, bring it in, Wrenchason. The sooner I start administering it, the better. Now then, you two, get back to your ship, if there's any of her left, and make out a written report. I'll attend to it once I've dealt with my Lizzie.
If there's any of her left.
Exactly. I may not be too late. Ramona can't know about her yet, but I must act quickly before she gets back. Now get going, the pair of you, and I want that report on my desk first thing tomorrow.
Where shall we forward it to, sir, if you're not here? Wormwood Scrubs.
Out, Mr. Phillips, out!
Murderer! Murderer!
Come in!
Good evening, Mr. Morrison.
Oh, it's you, Chief. And about time, too. Any luck with that shore power cable yet? This wardroom may not have the prettiest decor in the fleet, but at least it would be nice to see what we hate.
Any minute now, sir. Taffy and I have been slaving over that connecting cable all day, sir. But we think we've got it right now.
Carry on then, Chief. Connect up.
Yes, please do, Chief. We all say unto you, let there be light.
Pardon? Oh, hello, Padre. Oh, I didn't see you there in the doom and the gloom.
Not at all, Chief. Not at all. Let us face it, the Padre is rarely noticed, even at high noon on a midsummer's day. Let alone when darkness has descended upon us all. Upon us all.
Yes, well, perhaps it might help, Padre, if you got yourself one of them collars that glow in the dark.
Help a lot more if you've got some light glowing in the wardroom, Chief.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course, sir. If I could just open this porthole, sir, I'll instruct Leading Seaman Goldstein to connect the wires up, sir.
Connect the wires up? I thought you just had to plug in.
Yeah, well, that's been our main difficulty, sir. But that cable has got an heck of a lot of wires in it, and we've had to spend the old perishing day trying to find out which one does what to which.
Right, Chief, open the porthole and tell Goldstein to get a move on.
Aye, aye, sir. Oi! Oi, right out, Goldstein! Connect up.
Lead in, Seaman Goldstein, if you don't mind.
I don't care if you're a flaming admiral. Connect up.
I just did. Ooh. Ooh, that's odd.
What's odd? What's the matter?
All the lights in the dockyard just went out.
Ah, you great Welsh twit. You've connected the wires up the wrong way round. Reverse them, quick.
I have.
Well, what's happened now?
Well, I'm not quite sure, really. But an electric train in Portsmouth Harbour Station just stopped 100 yards from the platform. And the lights in the dockyard are ever so bright now.
Disconnect it! Disconnect it! You'll bung us all into orbit.
Don't worry, I have. I think I know what the trouble is, Chief. One of these leads ought to be on the telephone cable instead of the electric.
Then reverse them, you Carnarvon clown.
I do. Ah! Ooh! Ooh! Ah! Ooh!
Now what?
I was wrong. Oh, I'm suing somebody, I warn you.
Well, that's hardly unusual. Oh, what's happening?
The train started again and the lights are back to normal.
Right, good lad. Bung the manhole cover back on the key and have half a cup of cuckoo in the naffy on me.
Thanks very much, and good night to the last of the big spenders.
Right, everything's under control, Mr. Murray, sir. Perhaps you would be good enough to turn on the electric lights.
Oh, very well.
Oh, Wizard!
Are you light yet, Chief? No, but the phone's ringing. Don't worry. I'll answer it. Hello? Hello?
Hey, Salt. The lights have come on.
Who is it on the phone, Mr. Phillips?
A pop group and some chap who reckons it's a chart topper if you ever heard one, sir.
Hey? Stone me, they must be wired up to the radio. You put the phone down again, sir.
Oh, Tish, the lights have gone out again, just as I was about to do my crossword.
Mr. Phillips, sir, quick, quick, pick the phone up again.
Brilliant. Chief, don't think I'm an old fusspot, but I do feel it's going to be a little inconvenient if we have to lift the phone receiver every time we want the lights on.
I wonder what'll happen if I dial Mrs. 100.
Well, I wouldn't know, sir, but live dangerously. Try it, sir.
Right.
Gosh, what fun! We've got something on the telly.
Turn the volume up.
Aye, aye, sir.
Well, of course, I realise there's nobody in the main stores at this time of night, but you'll just have to break in and check the books. I'll accept the responsibility.
Crumbling crow's nest. That's old Thundercuts' cake hole chatting. Here, what's he doing on our telly?
Now, just you listen to me. It was labelled weed killer, but there were no instructions and it hasn't worked. I took enormous trouble giving it to my Lizzie, but she still looks the same. I admit it's only a slight chance that she'll survive, but my dear wife Ramona gets back tomorrow, so I must be sure I've given Lizzie a big enough dose.
Murderer! Be quiet, Mr. Phillips. We missed the juicy bits.
That's all very well, but it didn't work when I gave it to Creeping Jenny or Potty Ivy either.
Hey? Here, who's Potty Ivy?
I say he's running a harem.
Daddy, old devil.
If I could make so bold, I think you are all under a slight but utterly filthy misapprehension. The ladies to whom our splendid Captain Povey refers appear unto me to be the names of potted plants.
Aye?
Not at all. As I have grown and cultivated similar species myself in my cabin, Busy Lizzie, Creeping Jenny, Potty Ivy, etc., etc., etc.
Well, I think I've worked this out. Padre, have you still got all these potted plants?
But of course, number one. They're all in my cabin. And apart from the fact that they're all bright green, they're in the pink.
In the pink.
So kind.
Not at all. Now, would you be prepared to donate them to a good cause?
Naturally. What sort of good cause?
Getting Mr. Phillips out of the muck.
By all means. With a joyous heart. May I be permitted to ask how my carefully nurtured flowers of the fields will assist in removing Mr. Phillips from the, fertilizer?
Well, if I'm right, Padre, Mrs. Povey's coming back tomorrow morning, and whilst she's been away, Captain Povey's been told to look after her indoor plants. And they've died on him.
What a shame.
No, it's not, sir. It's a chance. I'm with Mr. Murray now. Oh, very neat, sir. Very neat. If we let old Thunderguts have the Padre's potted plants to replace Mrs. Povey's before she gets back, he might be prepared to overlook your slight contretemps de tiddle when you don't.
But that's blackmail.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
You're seriously suggesting that... But that's blackmail.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
I won't do it. I absolutely refuse. If you thought for one moment that I would swap a few potted plants in exchange for using my official position to overlook the damage to your ship and the dock, you must be out of your mind. I shall merely go out into the town and buy some fresh plants before Ramona arrives this afternoon. Well...
Mrs. Povey is here, sir.
What? But she can't be. It's too early.
Yes, he hasn't done the shopping yet.
Now, where are they?
Shall we tell her, sir?
They're outside, madam.
In the dustbin.
Yeah, no. I gave them to these three gentlemen to take outside so that they'd catch the sun, my love.
Did you, sir?
Yes, of course. you remember it was that special arrangement we made?
Of course, sir. I'd forgotten that you'd agreed.
You know, I have. Now and go get them, quick.
With the utmost pleasure, sir. This way, gentlemen. Mrs. Povey's plants must have a guard of honor.
Very right and proper, too. Henry will misjudge those men.
Oh, I don't think I have, my love. In fact, I'm sure I haven't.
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips have been lighting up the Navy Log, back for a new series of programs written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chasen, leading seaman Goldstein was Tenniel Evans, the Padre was played by Michael Bates, and Sid by Laurie Wyman. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.
That episode came from 1968, and next week one of the crew has money worries. A new credit card might be the solution.
Barry Humphreys, Gladys All Over.
With me, Kathy Lett. Australia is home to the world's most deadly creatures. The tiger snake, the great white shark, the funnel web spider, the box jellyfish, and the Dame Edna Everidge. Edna has the most venomous wit. It can be extremely hazardous to be dragged up on stage as you may be devoured alive. Equally as lethal is her cultural attaché, Sir Les Patterson. Their manager, Barry Humphreys, however, is their antithesis. Warm, wise, candid, kind and deliciously self-deprecating, Barry has been taking our cultural temperature with a theatrical thermometer for over half a century. Now, I have to ask you something that you may not want to answer, but what is it like being Dame Edna's manager? Because she has said some very, very cruel things.
Yes, she has. Well, she does. And I just pretend to be Dame Edna's manager, as a matter of fact. That's a bit of an exclusive for this program.
she doesn't need managing.
She really doesn't need managing, but it is true to say that she has a life of her own. Mm. Someone who is invented, really, for a two-week season in a little theatre on the campus of Melbourne University in December 1955, is still around, much transformed. Mm-hmm. I really am never quite sure what Edna's going to be interested in next. Every time I do a new show, I open a kind of dressing-up box and I pull out a doll called Dame Edna, and who starts talking to me. And she's wearing different things. She used to wear very dowdy, plain, ordinary things from a thrift shop. And now she's better dressed than the best dressed person in the audience. Mm. That's not difficult, because audiences in the theatre now are slobs. You look in vain for a tie or even a pair of shoes.
I think the reason women love Dame Edna so much is that we've grown up with her. You know, as you said, she started in house coats, now she's in haute couture. But she's, you know, she's evolved, and we've evolved along with her in some
way. Edna likes to think she's given hope to women. You know, there they are, wrist deep in grey washing up water.
Oh, yes.
With peas and mutton fat floating on the surface, looking through chipped blinds at broken toys in a small yard. What's next? Is their biological cycle over? As they go to the refrigerator and sneak a little sip out of the cask wine. Casks are popular because the family doesn't see the level drop.
No, that's so true.
But Edna said, you know, you too could be a megastar. I also just think she amuses women. And she's interested in clothes and things like that. And she's snobbish. with no reason to be. And she says things other people only think, yes, never dare to say.
That's right.
And I think people find that quite exhilarating. Mm. But I was saying that when I pull her out of this